I therefore wrote a letter to Mr. Tozer, thanking him for the offer of the job and telling him that I would report for work at 7:30 a.m. June 1st, and that I would leave the matter of my pay up to him. I would suggest, however, that he set my wages at what he thought I might be worth, and then at the end of a month, either increase my wages, decrease my wages, or allow them to stay at the original figure. On June 1st, at 6 a.m., my alarm clock startled me out of bed. I leaped out of bed, dressed rapidly, went to the kitchen, prepared my own breakfast, prepared my box luncheon, and started out on my bicycle for the Tozer Lumber Company. I pedaled my bicycle, on which was attached my box luncheon for the day. I pedaled my bicycle from 48th Street and Wentworth westward about 6 blocks to Lindale Avenue and 48th Street, where I turned to the right and rode my bicycle from 48th Street south, north on Lindale Avenue until I arrived at Plymouth Avenue North, which I believe is the same as 12th Avenue North. There I turned to the right and proceeded in an easterly direction about a mile to the Mississippi River, where I crossed the river on the bridge, and at the corner of the river and the extension of Plymouth Avenue North into 8th Avenue Northeast, I arrived at the Tozer Lumber Company, which is located on the river and on Sibley Street at 8th Avenue Northeast. The distance from my home to the Tozer Lumber Company was approximately 8 miles. After the day's work, I would mount my bicycle and take exactly the same route back home, arriving at home about 5:45 in the evening. When I arrived at Tozer Lumber Company, I reported to Mr. Phillips, who was the manager of the office. He introduced me to Mr. Kilbourne, the bookkeeper, and to another man who worked in the office. Mr. Phillips and Mr. Kilbourne during that first morning showed me the different jobs that they expected me to perform and told me how to perform them. At one point in the morning, that first morning, he introduced me to the manager or head foreman of the lumber yard. He told me that when this foreman of the lumber yard had some work he thought that I could do out in the lumber yard, he would phone in and have Mr. Phillips send me out to him where I could start unloading cars of lumber or loading trucks for delivering the lumber or piling lumber in the yard. I was thrilled with the prospect of working in the yard with the men who were out there. I was also thrilled with the jobs which I was expected to perform in the office. At the end of 1 month's work, Mr. Tozer came to me and said that he and Mr. Phillips had evaluated my work for the month and that they would raise my pay 10%, which pay they paid me for the balance of the summer. This was a wonderful experience I had at the Tozer Lumber Company. In the office, I learned how to type on the typewriter with the hunt and poke system. I became very proficient at this system and could write letters, prepare bills and invoices, which were sent out at the end of each month for the lumber that had been delivered during the past month. I learned how to do all the filing in the office. I learned how to take orders for lumber called in by building contractors who usually wanted the lumber delivered right away. I would check on the telephone with the foreman who I had met out in the yard to find out when the delivery could be made and relayed the message to the building contractor so he would know just when he would receive the lumber. Usually the building contractor would want to know what we were going to charge for each kind of lumber. I had been prepared for this kind of a question and was able to answer all of the questions about price and about delivery raised by each general contractor as he called in his lumber order to the Tozer Lumber Company. I enjoyed working with the men out in the yard and also with the men in the office. It was a wonderful experience. For a 12-year-old boy. At the end of the month of June, Mr. Tozer called me into his office and told me that he and Mr. Phillips had decided that I should have a 10% raise in my pay. The next summer, I was 13 years old. Early in May of that year, my father came to me and asked me if I would like to have a job as timekeeper and material clerk on the Dayton Department Store building, which he was building on 8th Street. I negotiated with my father as to what my wages would be if I went to work for James Leck Company on the Dayton building on June 1st. He agreed to pay me 10% more than I was getting at the Tozer Lumber Company the previous summer. So I accepted the job. And on June 1st, when I was 13 years old, I became the timekeeper and material clerk for the James Leck Company on the Dayton building. My duties were to keep track of the number of hours put in by each workman on the project. If a workman reported late for work, it was my duty to notice that and to reflect it in the number of hours I put down for that day for that man. Everyone who worked on that project worked a 9-hour day. One of my other responsibilities was to receive all deliveries to the project of materials which would be used in the project, and to tell the truck driver where his load of materials was to be unloaded. And it was my duty to take one or two laborers off of the work that they were performing in order to help the truck driver unload the materials. I also had the responsibility of first aid. If any of the workmen should be injured, it was my duty to call the hospital if the injury was warranted that action. If on the other hand, the injury was of a minor nature, I was to render first aid, and of course had a kit of first aid products which I could use in that case. One day, when the work was first starting on the building, the James Leck Company had to wreck the old building, which stood in the way of building the new building. The wrecking of the old building, which was about 4 stories high, made of wood construction with brick walls. One of the laborers with a huge sledgehammer was knocking out the stairways in the stairway shaft. He was knocking out the stairways working from the bottom up so that the debris would fall into the basement. He had removed all of the stairways up to the roof of the stair shaft, and I noticed how proficient he was with the sledgehammer in knocking out these wooden stairways. He was an Italian immigrant, spoke broken English, and as he was starting to knock the roof off of the stair shaft, I heard him cry out, "Look out below!" And he gave a mighty blow to the supporting member of the stair shaft roof on which he was standing. He fell with the roof structure down to the basement on top of the pile of lumber which he had knocked out at the other levels. There was a tremendous crash, so I rushed over to where this work had been done, and there he was lying on a pile of lumber at the bottom of the stair shaft, bleeding profusely. I immediately called for an ambulance, and I gave first aid, and the man did recover. On another day in the late afternoon, I noticed that my father was out on the where the construction work was being done, talking to the general foreman in charge of the project, and that he had parked his car on 8th Street near Nicollet Avenue. On this occasion, I looked up and saw his car coming toward me, but my father was not at the wheel. It was an open car with the top down. And when I noticed that the person who was driving the car was not my father or anyone I knew, I called out in as loud a scream as I could make, "Stop thief!" And I chased after the car. The thief pulled over to the curb and jumped out of the car and ran down 8th Street toward Hennepin, in between, down an alley between 8th Street and 7th Street near Hennepin, and finally he gave up the chase, and I ran up to where he was. By that time, the police had appeared and took him into custody. So you see, there were interesting things happening that summer. And I learned a great deal about bookkeeping, timekeeping, payrolls, material, clerking, as well as chasing thieves and helping out an injured workman. It was a great, great experience. For a 13-year-old boy. And brought my father owned, fortunately, a 160-acre dairy farm from the Altru Bakery on Starring Lake in Eden Prairie. Two cream puffs. So when I was 14 years old, my father came to me in early May and said that he thought it would be a good experience for me and for my brother, James, who was 1.5 years younger than I was, to work all summer on his dairy farm. My brother and I negotiated the pay that we were to receive. It resulted in a reduction from what we had been receiving because, of course, board and room was free. And anyway, working on a farm did not bring as high pay as working on a construction project or in a lumber company's office and yard. We settled on the amount of pay, and I agreed, and so did my brother, that we would go to work and live on the farm starting June 1st. My father wanted me and wanted my brother James to know all about farming, as he lived on a farm from the time he was born until he was 19 years old. So James and I reported for work with a suitcase full of clothes, swimming suits, and lots of other items that we took with us when we moved into the farmhouse on the at the Lakeside Dairy Farm, James Leck, proprietor. The man who operated the farm was Mr. Googe, G-O-O-D-G-E. He and Mrs. Googe lived alone in the farmhouse, so my brother and I lived in the extra bedroom for the 3 months that we worked on the farm that summer. My father said to Mr. Googe that he wanted his two sons, Stuart and James, to learn all about farming, and that he therefore did not want Mr. Googe to do much of the manual labor, but to direct Stuart and James as to what they should do and how they should do it, so that they would learn to do all of the chores that need to be performed on a farm, doing the chores in the proper way, so that by the end of the summer they would be proficient farm workers. The work which Mr. Googe taught us to perform, and which we did perform, was varied and difficult, but very interesting. First, we learned how to plow the fields with a walking plow powered by a team of horses. Plowing a field takes considerable skill if it is done properly. and Mr. Googe made us very proficient at plowing fields. We also cultivated the crops. We also mowed the hay. We also raked the hay. And we stacked the hay in the field and removed the hay, hauled it from the stacks up into the barn, where we put the hay in the hay mow, the top of the barn. We learned how to build a silo. We also learned how to milk the cows. I had 6 cows every morning and every night to milk. My brother had 4 cows every morning and every night to milk. Mr. Googe milked the rest of the cows, which was a small number, which cows could be milked at that particular time. We learned how to feed the horses, the cows, the chickens, and the other livestock. We learned how to weed the gardens with a hoe as well as with a cultivator. We also cleaned the barn once a day. We also took the manure out of the barn into a manure pile outside of the barn. We also loaded the manure from the pile in the yard, in the barnyard, into a manure spreader. And with a team of horses pulling the manure spreader, we would spread the manure on the fields to fertilize them. On Sundays for recreation, we would ride the horses and would take a buggy to which was hitched a horse, which we learned how to harness and drive, and we would go to a nearby town to get ice cream sodas or cream puffs. Shock loaded
where it had been stored, waiting the arrival of the threshing machine,
and we would pitch the shocks of grain into the threshing machine and get This took a long day, running into the night before I was able to get back to the farm.
The next summer,
this was done on a Saturday, sometime in September after I had gone back to school. But you can see from this description that I, a young boy, had a great deal of experience on that farm, and so did my brother.
Considerable segment of this tape has been garbled so that it is impossible to get the message. I will therefore, at this point, tell that section of my experience on the farm again so that you get the complete picture. In addition to all of the other types of farm work, we loaded the shocks of grain onto a hay rack. One hay rack after another, pulling the hay rack with a team of horses, and bringing the shocks of grain over alongside of the thrashing machine. There I would pitch the bundles of grain into the thrashing machine. In other words, my brother and I were part of a thrashing machine crew, which not only thrashed all the grain which we had produced on our farm, but went from farm to farm, namely our neighbors' farms, as we exchanged work with my brother and I working on the other people's farm, on the feeding the thrashing machine, and some of the other farmers working on our farm at the time we were feeding the thrashing machine. Another farm experience came a year later. I was 15 years old. After the end of the summer, probably in the month of September, a neighbor of ours in Washburn Park came over to our house one night and asked to see me. The neighbor was Mr. J. L. Laird. L-A-I-R-D. 648-acre grain ranch, about 15 miles out of Jamestown, North Dakota. He told me that he was having difficulty getting labor to harvest his grain crop, and that he would pay me very well if I would go to this grain ranch 15 miles out of Jamestown, North Dakota, and spend 3.5 weeks there helping his other men harvest the crop. He said that he would pay me high wages, which he surely did, about twice as much as I had ever received before, because he was in an emergency situation and because he couldn't get any labor. So in order to entice me into going way out to North Dakota, he would pay all of my travel expenses and pay me wages while I was traveling on the train. I worked in North Dakota 3.5 weeks, 10 hours per day, 6 days per week. When all of the grain had been thrashed, I headed back for Minneapolis. One of the men drove me into town in a buggy behind a horse, namely 15 miles. I arrived in Jamestown in the early afternoon, and the train was not due to leave Jamestown for Minneapolis until about 6 o'clock. While I was working on the grain ranch in North Dakota, near the end of my stay, I could just see ice cream sodas and cream puffs. It seemed as though I would never have another ice cream soda or a cream puff, because I was so far away from where I would be able to buy one. So when I found that I had 3 or 4 hours to wait for the train, I really gorged myself on cream puffs and chocolate ice cream sodas. I ate so many of these articles during that 4 hours that I was sick to my stomach and throwing up all of the way from Jamestown to Minneapolis, where I arrived the next morning. Another farming experience. Happened during my Christmas vacation when I was 15 years old. The Lakeside Dairy Farm, James Leck proprietor, had accumulated a large amount of wheat, which had been harvested the previous summer.
This wheat had been placed in large bags, the type usually used for transporting wheat. And my father had made a deal with the grain elevator on 38th Street and Hiawatha Avenue South, Minneapolis, to take all of this wheat and pay my father a certain price. My father told the grain elevator that his son would bring the wheat to the grain elevator sometime during his son's Christmas holiday. So, that particular Christmas holiday period was in the middle of the winter, of course, and there was a great deal of snow on the ground. So the farmer and I loaded a big sleigh, like a hay rack, with dozens of, I suppose 100, sacks of wheat. And we hitched the team of horses, harnessed up the team of horses, at which I had become very proficient. And I took the reins, and all by myself, I headed from the farm into the city. Since there was a lot of snow cover, the sleigh moved along the highway very nicely, and I experienced no difficulty with the team of horses, and we arrived, and I arrived at the grain elevator in the middle of the afternoon. I and the laborers at the grain elevator unloaded all of these bags of grain onto the scales, and the owner of the grain elevator gave me a check for the value of the grain, which I was supposed to deliver to my father. About 4 o'clock, I headed back to Eden Prairie from the grain elevator and did not arrive until late that evening. So I slept in the farmhouse that night. This business of transporting all that heavy load of grain from Eden Prairie over to 38th Street in Hiawatha was quite an experience, which I enjoyed considerably.